T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
The Bill Michaels Show. Hello, everybody, along the Bill Michaels Radio Network. Bill is out for the day. I'm Kevin Holden from CBS 58. And I swear, I don't know what four-leaf clover or what lucky charm I managed to fall into, but when I step in for Bill, and I occasionally jump in on his flagship station on the network, too, the station in Milwaukee, 105.7 FM, The Fan. When that happens, I seem to walk into the best sports situations around. It's absolutely crazy. Today, Bill is out for a day, and what do you know? The Milwaukee Bucks are playing in Game 5 of the Eastern Conference Finals, playing, I would imagine it's safe to say, their biggest basketball game in 18 years. It's crazy. And don't get me wrong, I love it that that Bill would trust me to do such a thing. Of course, Nick Bodie is here, and Bodie's job is to keep me from destroying equipment.
Well, you know, that's just what I'm trying to get through this week, because Radio Joe's and Zola also out for the week. But again, I was lucky enough to be here when the Bucks are in the middle of a playoff run, so at least we got plenty to talk about, Kevin.
Yes, this is going to be a pretty crazy day today, just because, for one, it's Game 5, and I hope, Milwaukee, that you are, in Wisconsin, that you are absolutely on fire about this Bucks team. Game 3 and Game 4 shouldn't change how you feel about Game 5. Because it won't matter. You win Game 5, you win Game 7, then those other two games are just a blip on the radar. So hopefully the fan base is out in full force in the Deer District and on television watching and supporting all throughout the city as the Bucks take on the Toronto Raptors. That's a 7:30 tip, Game 5 at Fiserv Forum. That'll be, of course, one of the main topics that we'll have today. So we've got a pretty big list of people coming on here today. Bart Winkler, who is a radio host and team ambassador for the Milwaukee Bucks. He's a radio host from the flagship station in Milwaukee. And then at 11:35, it's Chuck Freeman, who I am reading from this piece of paper, intrepid reporter and co-host of Chuck and Winkler on The Fan in Milwaukee.
You know, technically that's a typo. I should have said intrepid international reporter because he did go out to Canada, spent a couple days in Toronto. So, yeah, our man in Canada.
Now, he's not trying to frame it to you like he fell on a bullet, right? Like he's not trying to say that, is he?
No.
Because that's a pretty sweet gig. Going to Toronto for a couple of games of basketball. That's a great city. And by the way, I know there's going to be a lot of you that'll call in today and you'll be talking about Drake, and I'm not going to stop that from happening. But I don't hate the city of Toronto. I really like that city. That's one of my favorite cities on the planet. I'm separating that from my current feelings about their basketball team and about their super fan that's going over there massaging coaches on the sideline. What I'd love to see is what a lot of you would like to see. Aaron Rodgers or David Bakhtiari or somebody going over and massaging Bud's shoulders, you know, during a timeout or something. It's not going to happen. And Bud made that pretty clear yesterday when he was finally, you know, he was saying some things about Drake. He was pretty direct about Drake, really. He was saying that he called him a team ambassador or whatever it is he does for the Raptors, which was, that was some shade. There's no question there. He was throwing some shade at your boy Drake there, buddy.
Yeah, that was kind of petty. I love that, though.
It's interesting because Bud is Bud is normally not that guy, right? I mean, you know, Bud's usually very, you know, talking about the habits and practice, about the X's and O's. He doesn't tolerate a lot of outside stuff and the questions that are asked to him. But he went to the Drake thing, which I thought was pretty interesting. Later on in the show, Drew Burgoyne from CBS 58, my coworker over there, is going to join us. And he's a weather guy normally, but honestly, he's a sports guy at heart. This is a guy that talks off the air at least, a ton of sports. He is paying very close attention to your weather systems, and he is working hard for you to make sure that you are ready for whatever weather comes your way. But he's also a sports lunatic, and you'll have a lot of fun with him later in the show. We also got Paul Emmett, Green and Gold analyst, and Jeremy Jeffress. This is what I'm saying, Bodie. This is what I'm saying. Bill steps out, I step in, half the world joins us, and the Bucks are playing in Game 5 of the Eastern Conference Finals.
And the Jeffress thing is rescheduled. He's usually with us on Tuesdays, but he was out on Tuesday with some throat soreness, so good to see him back there. Trainer said throat is doing well, and he'll be sounding great when he joins us at 1:35.
So, obviously, we're going to open this thing right up because we've been talking Bucks, and we're going to keep talking Bucks. Buddy, let me make sure I have this right. 855-830-8648.
Yes, sir.
That is our line to give us a call. And we'll talk about anything, but obviously right now, it's the Bucks. And to me, the biggest question that faces this Bucks team as we get to Game 5 of the Eastern Conference Finals is that I felt completely different about the Bucks after Game 4 than I did after Game 2. I think a lot of you feel the same way. The Bucks won the first two at home. They went to Toronto and then lost the two games there. And they didn't just lose the two games there. There was an epic heavyweight fight in Game 3 that came up on the short end of that. And then in Game 4, it was the Bucks that looked weak. And I thought it would be the Raptors that looked weak. The Raptors just came off a 7-game set against the 76ers that came down literally to the last shot of the series. They gave everything they had in that series against the Sixers. The thought is you would get to the Eastern Conference Finals and the Raptors would be on tired legs, especially after a double overtime game. I thought Game 4 was the best chance the Bucks had to win in the entire series, maybe even better than a home game, just because they would be fresher than the Raptors would be. And it didn't work out that way. So here is the debate that I've been going over in my mind. After the first two games, it looked like the Bucks were that good. They were deep. They were doing everything right. Giannis was doing his stuff. You had Middleton setting up teammates. Brooke Lopez is pouring in crazy points. You know, you had a lot of stuff that led you to believe the Bucks were just a better team. But they were playing like Game 1. They didn't play their best game. So when they would either win close or lose, you would say, well, they didn't play their best game. Now, after watching four games of the series, my debate is maybe the Raptors are causing the Bucks to play some of these bad games. Maybe the way they attack them defensively, maybe the way they... I mean, they're physical with Giannis the way the Celtics are, but they also are physical in a way that they're not leaving these other guys open. That they're stopping Giannis effectively, or they're containing him, let's say, but they're holding Bledsoe and Brogdon and Lopez and these guys all the way down the line to single-digit points. I don't know. After two games, I thought, well, the Bucks, if they play their game, they'll win. Now I think the Raptors are just, they're pesky.
Yeah, we had Chuck Freeman call in from Toronto when he was up there. Chuck Freeman from Chuck and Winkler, 105.7 The Fan. He'll be with us at 11:35 this morning. And he said, give this team credit. You know, this is not a game. Yes, the Bucks did play very sloppy, but this was not a game that the Bucks lost. The Raptors had to play well. They had to win it. And you can't let Giannis dominate you, which is really, really hard to do.
So, Then the next question to me becomes, if that's where we are through four games, what's different? What would make me feel differently about Game 5? So I get to last night, and I'm thinking about Game 5, and I'm sitting at home, and I'm listening to Biz Markie's release, The Biz Never Sleeps. Because I don't know if you know, but I've been just obsessed with the Biz Markie thing ever since he performed at Game 2 of the series against the Celtics. Think about this. He performed at halftime. He performed Just a Friend. A song that we all know, right? You know the song? You know the song. He didn't know the song. Bodie knows the song. It's like a 30-year-old song, so don't worry. But Biz Markie is this like iconic early hip-hop figure of his time. He performed at halftime of Game 2 against the Celtics, and the Bucks didn't lose again in that series. They won four straight, and then they won two more at home. And I'm like, Biz Markie is the guy that's going to push these guys to a title. Six straight wins. And now my excuse is it's six straight wins in the U.S. Not, you know, they went to Canada to lose too. So it took changing countries to break the Biz Markie thing. Don't make me do it, Bodie. Do not make me do it.
was walking through the crowd, and guess who I met?
Are you saying that Biz has what this franchise needs right now?
He's got what they need.
He's a friend to the franchise?
you realize that I could I can do this whole song. I don't think we should do it. I think you want to keep your ratings up, but I can do this song. I do this in the newsroom, and all the 23-year-olds in our newsroom look at me like I got three heads. Like, seriously?
For playing Bismarcky, I would look at you like you were awesome for doing that.
He performed this song at halftime of Game 2 against the Celtics, right? And the arena was singing along, and I'm telling you, that was the moment. That was the moment, Bodie. Bismarcky. So I took Blah-Blah's word for it at this time. I thought just having a friend couldn't be no crime. No, I can't do this because literally Bill's going to come in and kick me off the air. Sorry, Bill. Anyway, Bismarcky was the guy, right? That was game two of the second round when you were all worried, and I was right there with you, after that game one performance against the Celtics. You're like, this is... We waited this whole season, the Bucks with the best regular season record in the NBA, and they're going to do this against the Celtics? And then after that performance, they won six straight playoff games, including two of them on the road in Boston. Okay, maybe we should bring Bismarcky back here for Game 5 tonight. You think? What if they surprised everybody with Biz tonight?
That would be pretty awesome. Or they just start pulling like random obscure 90s rappers for every game.
Well,
like,
just,
I want Coolio for one. Oh, yeah. Biz, like everybody.
Just no Ja Rule. He's been part of two debacles now. He's had the Fire Festival, and now he's had this that thing that he was here at halftime during the regular season.
Yeah, 0-2. He's got to turn that franchise around before he can tie up to us.
That was terrible. Just terrible. Okay, so Bucks and Raptors game 5. Obviously, we're joking around about the Bismarcky stuff, but what you have to have from this Bucks team are scoring options beyond the big two. Giannis, 25, 30 points. He's going to get you double-digit rebounds. Giannis is Giannis. You've seen it night in and night out for years. That's happening. Chris Middleton's a nice second option in that there will be a night he'll score 30. There will be a night he'll set up his teammates to do well. Middleton's the nice, selfless second option. I think that's essential for a team like this. But what have we heard all through the years? You need three, right? Big three. 2001 Bucks, big three. Who's the third one? Is it Bledsoe? Is it Brogdon? Is it Brook Lopez? Maybe that's a good question for you to answer for us at 855-830-8648. Kevin Holden in for Bill Michaels. More of the Bill Michaels Show coming up.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
The Bill Michaels Show, Kevin Holden from CBS 58 in Milwaukee, sitting in for Bill just for the day. And no, don't get any crazy theories in your head about him going and trying to do something to Drake so he can't root on the Raptors tonight. Bill's just off for the day, that's all. Bodie's with us, of course, as Joe is off for the week, and we're going to do our best to keep this studio from falling completely apart. We're gonna keep everything between the rails the best we can. But we're talking Bucks, and obviously everybody's pumped up here for Game 5 of the ECF, talking Bucks and Raptors at 855-830-8648. Want to hear your thoughts on this Bucks game. What's it going to take? And what's that third option? Who beyond Giannis and Middleton are going to be the guys to make something happen? Bodie, we've got a call.
We do. We have Mike in Racine on the line. Good morning, Mike. You're on the Bill Michaels Show.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm really nervous about what's going on here because I'm thinking that they've got us figured out in a very quick amount of time. If you look at these games, the last couple, their man-to-man defense is better than ours. Our team defense is maybe better, but their man-to-man on-ball defense is really good. And they're beating us off the dribble. We're completely disorganized on our defense. And I was telling your screener, I'm putting this on Budenholzer. He didn't have that team ready to play last game. And if we don't come fighting tonight, because these guys are just kicking us in the teeth, and you see what's going on. The refs aren't calling anything.
Yeah.
And this is what scares me about it. I think they can take us.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah, you got a great point about the man-to-man defense. And it's funny, too, because we think that there's this magic formula for, you know, A on B and C on D that'll change it. And all the Raptors have really done is just played tighter on their guys. I mean, there's nothing fancy other than, you know, getting help against Giannis, which everybody has to do. But, yeah, that has got to improve.
Yeah, and they're leading, I think, the playoffs in defense, if I'm not mistaken on the stats right now. So we've got our hands full. They've got some veteran guys, and our bench has to come to play tonight. If the bench doesn't play, we're gone again.
Who's your
we're horrible off the bench.
Who's your third option? Like, if you have an ideal line score, box score tonight for a win, Giannis does his thing, Middleton does his thing, and who is that third? Is it Lopez? Is it Bledsoe? Who is it?
I like to keep saying Bledsoe, but I just don't see him in this thing right now. I'm hoping he wakes up, but I would say him. But again, you know, George Hill, I'm going to go back to George Hill again, and I hope he plays a lot more than Bledsoe. He's a veteran, and the guy, he didn't have a great game last one with the scoring, but if he keeps playing like he did that game before that, I mean, he could be the third guy, and I'd play him a bunch of minutes.
Yeah, they need somebody for a bunch of minutes that'll put in some points. Hey, thanks for the call, Mike. Appreciate it. This is sort of the dilemma, I think, that not just the Bucks but also the Raptors are in, right? When they were at home, when the Bucks were at home for the first two games of this series, you had Lopez score 29 in Game 1. You had Ilyasova go nuts in the second quarter of Game 2. And when the Bucks looked that deep, they were very hard to defend. They didn't look deep in Toronto. Either of those games, they did not look like a deep team.
No, and Mike really broke my heart because I'm a big Eric Bledsoe guy. I'm reminded of the great Barry Alvarez had a great quote when he was talking about Ron Dane and Brent Moss back in the day. He said, "I like tough guys. I like my running backs to be alley cats." Eric Bledsoe is an alley cat, man. That guy does not back down. Like when Joel Embiid tried to start something with him on the court, that guy, he's scrappy, really tenacious defender. Love, love, love Eric Bledsoe. I was so happy when he got the big deal, but this series has been heartbreaking because I'm like, I don't want this guy out there. Give me George Hill. Give me Brogdon, regardless of where his health is really at. Like, a lot of people. And that's been very tough for Bucks fans because he's kind of a fan favorite, and Bledsoe's had a rough series.
And I think maybe here's where the crux of this third option thing is, right? If you're Bud, you have tried, and he's tried throughout this series and even leading up to the series. Bud has tried to say, Brogdon is getting healthier. He's coming along. We're going to play him some minutes, but we're not going to start him. We're going to have Bledsoe out there. He's trying to, you know, keep the rotation from being upset. Remember that Eric Bledsoe had a rough playoffs last year. And I think what Bud wanted to do more than anything was to maintain Bledsoe's confidence in these playoffs. Because if you have a good Bledsoe, a confident Bledsoe, you have a better team. But I think at this point, Bud might have to make a call here. Brogdon might have to be that number three option. He might have to say, look, I appreciate this, Brogdon, and we're going to rest you for a whole bunch of time here in a couple weeks. About mid-June, why don't you take 4 months off? But right now, you're going to have to give us everything you got because you got to play a lot of minutes and you're going to have to be responsible for some points because someone's got to step up beyond those other two. It's Giannis, it's Middleton, and if you get an old Brogdon night, a pre-injury Brogdon night, that upsets that Raptors defense. Then this whole man-to-man physical thing changes around because Brogdon can make things happen. He'll distribute.
The biggest thing Brogdon can make is free throws. I mean, the biggest difference for me in Game 4, looking at the difference in free throw percentage, the Bucks shot horrendously, and you know, you don't need a lot. Just be that 90% free throw shooter for us, especially in the playoffs. That's huge.
Man, and just picture one extra free throw in Game 3. Anywhere, from anybody. One extra free throw, and you're talking about this Game 4 being a blip on a radar where they're up 3-1 and ready to close it out tonight. It was that close. So that's why I don't want to be despondent about this, even though it was hard to watch those two games. They were that close to making that happen in Game 3.
You're such a big J journalist, Kevin, coming in here from CBS 58. Yesterday, we're asking Bucks fans, are you hitting the panic button? It's like, you know, the radio guys would go, panic button, are you worried? Kevin Holden over here is like, are you despondent, Bucks Twitter?
It sounds like I got my pinky up. You know,
are you devastated and distraught after Game 4?
Let us toast our cappuccino and discuss our issues with the world. I don't want to put the word panic on a series like this. This is the coolest thing that has happened to the Bucks in my 10 years here, and I think the people who've been here longer would say it's the coolest thing clearly that's happened since 2001. And I think people that have made the comparisons from 2001 to 2019, those who were around for both, what they tell me is that this is better. It's up the scale more than 2001 was.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of don't get what all the old guys around here talk about, Kevin. I got hired at the Fan in October, so, you know, my first couple of months, NLCS, Bucks, the best team in the NBA. I'm like, yeah, what, isn't this every season? I don't get it.
Yeah, you've literally just been here for everything.
Oh, I'm so spoiled. I got poor Chuck Freeman and all these guys who sat through years of, like, 20-win teams, and yeah.
I remember the 15-win Bucks the year before Parker, and we had a rule. I suppose I could say the statute of limitations has expired. We had a rule on CBS 58 that, like, especially the second half of the year when they were, you know, 8-50 or whatever they were, I couldn't show more than two plays. Like, I just couldn't do it. I would just be like, well, your leading scorer was John Salmons, whoever. And it was like, okay, and then they lost by 27. Next thing. And like, because I couldn't dwell on it. I could not put that heartbreak on my television screen for a long time. I couldn't go, look at how bad they are against this team, you know? And it's nice that I mean, the Packers get that love every year. The Brewers have in recent years. And they get a consistent amount of love, too, even when they're not an NLCS team. Right. But it's great to see that for the Bucks right now.
Yeah, and great to see them get exposure and star players. I mean, between Giannis and Christian Yelich, you're getting so much national exposure, arguably, you know, two of the best guys in their sport. I mean, it's an amazing time. You got two MVPs in one city.
In this city, you have the deer, who people are fearing. You have three possible goats, Yelich, Giannis, Rodgers. You have a moose. And Toronto offers this extinct dinosaur. This seems like a mismatch to me. But that extinct dinosaur came to life in games 3 and 4. So, Bucks fans, it's time to shut that down in game 5. Fiserv Forum, 7:30 tonight as the Bucks look to take that 3-2 advantage in the best-of-7 series. Warriors waiting in the wings. Them and their 5 straight finals and their Kevin Durant and their Winkler that works for that team. Maybe we'll ask the Winkler that works here in Wisconsin about that in a moment, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Bart Winkler coming up, co-host of Chuck and Winkler on the Fan and the Brewers' newest team ambassador. Does he have some Drake-like antics planned for the Brewers season?
Bart will give us the art of the shoulder massage of a head coach next on the Bill Michaels Show.
This portion of the program being brought to you by our friends at the Wisconsin Biofuels Association, reminding you all gasoline has additives to bring up the octane. Raw gas, 84 octane. Higher octane means your engine runs more efficiently and gets better gas mileage. Of all the additives to bring up the octane, ethanol is the safest. Now, E15 or E88, unleaded 88, it saves you money over the regular unleaded. At the pump, it's called unleaded 88, so look for it. Higher octane than regular unleaded, and it's cheaper as well. Ethanol cheaper than raw gas. I mean, the more ethanol is in the gas, the cheaper your gas is. You already have 10% ethanol. The gas is 10% cheaper. You know what I'm saying? So you can see that at the pump. It's right there. And by the way, so many vehicles can run on the ethanol. All GMs, all Fords, all Hondas, Hyundais, Chrysler, Dodge, Ram, Fiat, Jeeps, Jags, Range Rovers, Land Rovers, Toyota, you bet. All you got to do for all the information is go to WIBiofuels.org. Again, that's WIBiofuels.org.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
I've got some personal news. I'm really excited here at Miller Park. I am the ambassador for the Brewers, which means that during the game, see all this? I get to do whatever I want because I'm an ambassador. So if I want to run the field like this, right, I can do that. If I want to go give guys massages during the game,
okay,
I can do that. If I want to, you know, yell at these guys taking BP, hey, you suck. I can do that because I'm an ambassador, and that's what ambassadors can do. So look for me right here at Miller Park today.
That is newly appointed Brewers team ambassador Bart Winkler, who is a radio host on 105.7 FM, The Fan in Milwaukee, our flagship station. Here on the Bill Michaels Show, I'm Kevin Holden stepping in for Bill, and Bart is here. The team ambassador has cleared his schedule. Because I imagine your schedule is just jammed now that with this new role.
Well, the problem with that role is it was a self-appointed role, and the Brewers have not sent me the paperwork. So, no, but I wanted to do it at Miller Park yesterday. I just wanted to do something fun because when we would talk about the Drake situation, which I think everybody knows what's happening now, I would hear from Raptors fans or even, you know, some fans throughout Wisconsin. Well, Drake's a team ambassador. He can do that. He can act like that on the court because he's the team ambassador. And I go, oh, cool. No other team has that. It's a made-up job.
Right.
Oh, well, but, you know, he donated, you know, to their funds. And the Raptors are okay with that. Okay, he ran the court like an assistant coach. He had more room to move on the sideline than Mike Budenholzer did.
Legally.
A play was going on, and he gave Nick Nurse a massage.
Yeah.
That's not okay. Oh, well, but if Aaron Rodgers did that to Coach Bud, you'd make that your Twitter profile picture. I barely liked when Aaron Rodgers played football last season. I'm certainly not going to like him caressing the shoulders of Mike Budenholzer.
But they missed the point there, which is there is no chance anywhere on this planet that Aaron Rodgers would ever do something like that.
Oh, no. You know Rodgers, Mr. Animated, always getting everybody's personal space, giving dudes back rubs on the set. Totally his personality.
No, but no, he would never do that. And if he did do that, this is not a thing. And when I argue with people from Toronto about this, and if you think, oh, Milwaukee's talking about it too much, the Toronto interviews I've done, they asked me about Drake, first question.
Of course.
I mean, it's the biggest story there,
right,
as it is here, as it is everywhere. Is it why the Bucks lost? I mean, it looked like he got in Giannis's head a little bit. I'm not going to say it's why the Bucks lost, but it's certainly part of the home court advantage that Toronto has, and why, if they do have to win a game six, it's part of the whole mystique of Toronto with their fans at the free throw line and with Drake, how he acted. So it is certainly a relevant conversation. Is it annoying? Well, sure, it's annoying. It's annoying to watch him do that. It's annoying to see Drake run up and down the sidelines when you're trying to watch a basketball game. So, you know, Toronto fans saying, well, this is something that Drake does every playoffs. Yeah, well, guess what? I only watch the finals and I never see Toronto there. So,
well, but if he does, then it just means that nobody's caught Drake doing this
before.
These
are the same jokes I did this morning on my own show.
I love
just
it, though.
If anybody's still here from that.
Just recycle them, run them up.
yeah.
Just like last night on the air.
Yeah, it's the 4 hours that you got this morning on the fan as 10 minutes right here.
Condensed version.
Yeah.
Cliff notes. I said last night on 58, I said, we found out, we did a little research and found out that Drake's first name is Aubrey. That sounds like
Aubrey
something.
Aubrey Graham. Kawhi. He was on the show Degrassi, which I did watch in college.
Really?
He was in a wheelchair, his character was. Yeah, I was a big Paige and Spinner guy.
Okay.
That was the couple I shipped for.
I mean, I I'm not holding that against you. You didn't know then that 10 years later he was going to be massaging a coach's shoulders during a timeout.
I know 3 days ago that he'd be such a big problem. Look, he gives a home court advantage, and, you know, it's like Spike Lee and Jack Nicholson, celebrities at NBA games. It's part of the fun because you get to sit so intimate. You do get to be courtside. And, you know, is it on Milwaukee that our biggest celebrity is David Gruber, you know, lined up on the sideline?
I'd love to see that, by the way.
Or the biggest celebrities we get are guys from other sports cheering on this sports team, which is a very, very cool thing that happens here in the state, unlike maybe any other situation. Yeah, okay, I guess. I mean, sure, you're not going to have Victor DiLorenzo from the Violent Femmes on the sideline like that, massaging Budenholzer.
Cato Kalin.
Yeah, you're not going to. Well, yeah, Cato would be actually a pretty good.
He'd do it.
Version of that. No, it's you know, Budenholzer talked about it, and you can say, well, should the Bucks be talking about this or should they not? It would be nice if we could focus on the basketball, but what happened was Drake added to the home court advantage, and the Bucks in that game were shook. That's not, we've watched this team 100 games now. We have not seen the Bucks look like that. Mm-hmm. The facial expressions, the body expressions, mm-hmm. Middleton yelling at Mirotić, get up, help me up. We have not seen a team like that, so it will be fascinating to see how they respond tonight with the home court to back them, with the fans in and outside of Pfizer Forum to back them.
And I don't want to start playing conspiracy theorist or try to feed into anything, but notice this. Since that game, you know, usually you hear from the teams between games. Since that game, 2 days ago, yesterday, all we heard was Mike Budenholzer via telephone, and today the Bucks did not speak in their team availability. I think they're cooling off.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm sure they're a little rattled. This is a team that has only lost back-to-back games once.
Right.
And that was to two different opponents. So what I liked about this Bucks team coming into the playoffs was they were a good regular season team because they won 60 games, so they can win. That's good in the playoffs, right? They only lost back-to-back games once. That's pretty good in the playoffs.
That's good.
Right? And then when they would lose to a team, the next time they would face them, whether it was the next weekend or 2 months down the road, they would beat that team. So all of those things that made the Bucks so good in the regular season made them good I think, in the playoffs. They went into Boston where they couldn't win last year, won two road games there in a tough environment. And I thought, with the way Game 4 started, Giannis, you know, he was slamming him down right away. I thought this would be a really good bounce back, just like what we've seen. I can barely put into words what I saw from the Bucks in Game 4 because it was just, it's not the team that we saw all season long.
Your MVP airballed a free throw in each of the two games in Toronto. And that ain't Drake. That's not good. You know what I mean?
Right.
Here's my concern with it. You said they lost back-to-back games once all year, which means it's a team that didn't really face a ton of like adversity in the sense of, okay, we got to snap out of this slump, right? I like the fact, this is going to really probably anger some people here, I like the fact that they've gone through some tough times in this series because I think if they had swept through the Raptors, they would have been in danger of being swept by the Warriors.
That's probably true, but the problem now, Kevin, is that they have to get out of this series.
Yeah, you actually got to win it, yeah.
So if they win tonight and even lose on Saturday and then win on Monday, all right, you got through some adversity. Now you understand what this pressure's like for the finals, which is going to be an absolute different beast because Golden State's been there for five straight years.
Right.
That building, I think, even it's the last week for the Oracle, last 2 weeks, that building is threatening, I think, because you see it on TV in the playoffs all the time, that bright yellow popping up. So I think there's going to be something there, but yeah, it's nice that the Bucks face adversity. This is why when they would go on losing streaks in the regular season, which there was just the one, but there was the week where they went like 7-7 across a couple of weeks, and they're a 500 team, quote-unquote. You know, it's good to lose sometimes in a regular season. You're not going to win 82 games.
Huh.
You're not going to win 73 unless you're a once-in-a-lifetime team. But those teams that face adversity, what you should do in the playoffs in any sport is draw from the things that you learned in the regular season. That's why you play so many games. That's why you go through it. So, yeah, it took the Bucks 100 games before they faced this kind of adversity, and now we're going to see how they respond tonight.
Can I lob you a softball? Go ahead, Bodie. Sorry.
I'm sorry, Bart. I did have one question. Now, your brother does work for the Golden State Warriors. Not a lot of people know.
He does.
Not a lot of people know that.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
About that every day, yeah.
So I had one interview question for you. What is your favorite Oracle Arena memory?
Oh,
that involves a Winkler.
I'll tell you one thing. I went there for a Bucks Warriors game a couple years ago, and it was the season that the Bucks beat them 24. It was the 24-1 game. So then the next time they played was around the holidays, just before Christmas, and the Bucks were up like 15 in the fourth quarter. And I thought, wow, the Bucks are going to sweep the Warriors. You know, this wasn't a great Bucks team, a 500 Bucks team, mm-hmm. Jason Kidd-led team.
Yeah.
So they were up 15 in the fourth. And then Clay hit a three-point shot from the corner, and the crowd went nuts. The crowd went like, we just won game 7 nuts. And they're still down 12. And I'm shocked. And then within 2 minutes, because they knew what it was going to lead to, within 2 minutes, they won the game. So, yeah, I actually did have an answer for that.
That's a pretty cool thing. And that's what this team has been capable of and how they've made the finals five straight years is when the run happens, it happens. Like, unlike any team that I've seen maybe ever. Because Jordan's Bulls were a dominant force, but I think the Warriors in a short spurt can score as much as anybody. I mean, ever.
Yeah, you got to play a full 48 against them, and you're learning that even if you don't have to do that against Toronto, you've got to play stronger and more than you've been playing. These quarters where the Raptors, I think they've won like 11-16, or just this could easily be a series that's 3-1 Toronto.
Yeah.
And I think that the Bucks need to come out there and just stay focused. They know they are a good team because they've played like a good team. But it almost seemed on Tuesday night that they were playing like themselves. Like they were when you see other teams play the Bucks, I'm like, oh no, this is the Bucks. That's what the Bucks were like. I haven't seen them like that all season. Not against the Warriors. Not against the Sixers. Not against the Celtics. Against the Raptors, though. It seems like they know they can be beat here if they don't play their best.
We're going to put a Bart on it tonight? We're putting you on the front row somewhere?
I will be on the flagship station, 105.7 FM, The Fan. I will be on the post-game show tonight hosting the festivities. So no matter where you are, you can download the radio.com app. Not only can you get Bill's great podcast, some great Rocky Blyer interviews there if you go way back, but you can also listen live to my post-game show tonight. Jerry Kramer does an interview a week on this show. Why don't they have Jerry Kramer host? Why are you guest hosting? Why don't Jerry Kramer do 4 hours?
If you had 47 minutes in your office pool in the first Rocky Blyer reference of the Bill Michaels show,
I win.
You win.
I bet on it.
Bart Winkler, Brewers team ambassador, please go rub enough shoulders to get these Bucks a win tonight.
Will do. Thanks, Kevin.
This is going to be a lot of fun, Bart. And again, 7:30 at Fiserv Forum, Game 5 Eastern Conference Finals. We got a team ambassador. Take that, Drake. More of the Bill Michaels Show coming up. Fear the Deer, the Bill Michaels Show rolls on. Kevin Holden from CBS 58 in Milwaukee stepping across. Thanks for letting me in and have some conversations with you in your cars and your homes and all over the Midwest here as we get ready for Bucks and Raptors Game 5 Eastern Conference Finals. We've been building to this not just for weeks or months, but really for years. The Bucks have been, since the new ownership took over, they had Jason Kidd hired as a coach and Giannis's development, and then the idea that you had to go out and find these guys to go behind Giannis, a second option, a third option. And then the Bucks built this team without really doing that. They didn't go and sign a guy to, you know, $110 million contract and have him as a second option. It's not really how it worked. You had a throw-in in a trade with Detroit that's become your number two. You had a guy who was disgruntled down in Phoenix who has become at times a good number three. He hasn't really done that in the playoffs, but it's interesting to see how this team has gotten to where they've gotten. I think Mike Budenholzer deserves a ton of credit. The defensive differences that have happened in this team are incredible. That, to me, is where this difference has come in, this philosophy of increased D from everybody. I mean, you have a different kind of responsibility in the Mike Budenholzer system on defense, and I think that's been a huge part. Two members of the all-defensive first team yesterday, Bledsoe and Giannis. Then you add in your parts like Brook Lopez, who that's the sort of guy that pushes you toward a championship because he's not a guy you pay a lot, but he's a guy who has performed well. All these pieces have come together, and I don't want this thing over yet. I want, for the patience that Bucks fans have shown, for the patience that Milwaukee residents have shown as this new arena was coming in, as this Deer District was being built, as this team was under construction. I mean, guys have been here a while to tell you. It wasn't that long ago we were talking about Larry Sanders and surveillance video and Steven Jackson and Monte Ellis and John Salmons. I mean, I can go on and on and on. Brandon Jennings the first time around and the ending of that whole time here and the Seattle rumors. This was not that. This was not in a different like generation. This happened within the last like 5 or 6 years. All of this, the Bucks making it as an 8 seed and getting swept year after year and missing out on lottery picks. I mean, this was kind of a rough thing to watch. If you were a fan, you had to be really patient. But that patience has been rewarded this year, and I think it's been rewarded earlier than a lot of people thought. And with that in mind, like I said, you don't know how many times in your life you'll get to see this. I mean, in 2001, my guess is fans thought that the Bucks would make more Eastern Conference Finals. And they didn't. 18 years later, here they are. That's my pep talk is you got it, just like Malcolm Brogdon, you got 4 months to recover your voice. Scream your head off tonight, please. But what about, well, maybe not you, Bodie, because you got to talk tomorrow on the radio.
Well, not me particularly, but Bart, we need to make sure we conserve his pipes.
Yeah, team ambassador. It's going to be important for him to get in a face maybe at the free throw line. I think if Siakam's shooting a free throw, let's get Bart up there to jump up and down and get in his face.
You know, I've been hearing unconfirmed reports that he was the one who loosened up Hira actually yesterday before his first homer at Miller Park.
Oh, right, team ambassador.
I think that was Bart
to the Brewers, and then Keston Hira goes and hits a home run. He's been impressive, by the way. He has done exactly what he was supposed to do, which is to put the Brewers in a bad position. I mean, that was Keston Hira's job. If he was to do his job right, the Brewers have to make a decision because you have Shaw and Moustakas and Keston Hira for two positions, kind of like last year when you had Sean Moustakas and Scope for two positions. Except, unlike Scope last year, Keston Hira appears to be able to hit the baseball. That's kind of important. I love it, and unfortunately for a service time, I think that Keston Hira is probably going to have to end up going back down. But the better he plays and the more he keeps hitting, the more they're going to have to figure something out. I mean, they can afford to have Travis Shaw take at bats at AAA right now. That's how deep they are offensively. Also makes you wonder if Corey Ray isn't going somewhere for an arm later this summer. I know we'll have some time to talk Brewers later in the show. We've been talking a ton of Bucks. That's Bodie. I'm Kevin Holden in for Bill Michaels. More of the Bill Michaels Show rolling. We're going to have Chuck Freeman in the next hour. Stick around.
Station strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.